When you think about Christmas, a lot of different things go through your head, right? Some get excited, some get a little nervous, some let the stress just start. Right? Or the moment you think about it, it's like, oh boy, it's going to be busy. And here at New Hope, we just finished a series. That's why there's Christmas movie posters up here called Christmas at the Movies. So we just talked about all these movies and the things that we experience at Christmas and things, you know, like Christmas stress and loneliness. And we talked about forgiveness because a lot of times we're around family, and maybe you're around family today and you're excited about it. And maybe you're around family and you're like, dang it, I don't know, you know, how it is. But what I know is when we gather together at church, we are a family. And I'm grateful that this church family says that there's no perfect people allowed and that we can come just as we are. And so I'm glad you guys did. Welcome to New Hope. We're glad you're here. But one thing about Christmas is presents, right? You know, like that's a big tradition in everybody's household, is that the giving and receiving of presents. And that's fun. It's really fun. I know as a kid, like I loved Christmas because I got presents, right? I remember one Christmas my dad dressed up like Santa, and I totally knew it was him. And like he didn't want me to think it was him, but I did. And so I caught him that year because it was a trash bag. I mean, he was carrying a trash bag. I mean, come on, it's an easy giveaway. You can buy the hat, but you got to at least get the bag too, right? But there. I don't know if you've ever made any Christmas gift blunders. Have you ever like bought the wrong thing? Like you were really excited about it, and you were ready to give it to the person, and you thought it was going to be the perfect gift, and when they opened it up, there wasn't glee on their face for some reason. There wasn't joy or excitement. Like I know for my wife, it was a few years ago, and those of you who come to New Hope, you know I'm not afraid to confess my sins in front of everybody. I bought her. I thought it was a really thoughtful, meaningful gift because she needed it. I got her an alarm clock. I thought it was going to go over great, and she uses it every day, but it wasn't quite the gift she was looking for, right? It wasn't quite the thing that she wanted. And so Christmas gifts can be stressful, you know, I'm trying to pick the right one, but it can be fun. It can be fun and exciting. Now, today, this is a short message, and those of you who know me, you're probably, yeah, whatever, Tim. But really, like tonight, I'm going to get you out of here so you can go celebrate, you know, other things tonight as families and those kind of things. But tonight, I'm talking about Christmas presents, but not just the kinds that we give and we receive. We're talking about the presents that started this whole Christmas journey, and that was with Jesus and these wise men, that video that we just saw. Like, there were those that came from far, far, far away. I don't know how far you have to travel for family, but these guys, it was a journey to finally figure out where the heck Bethlehem was and where Jesus was, and finally to get there with their huge entourage, you know, following them, their camels and their gifts and their servants, and then they show up where Jesus is. And in this scene, we see something pretty powerful happen. So I want to read it to you. You guys, you know, you don't have your Bibles with you. We always put it up on the screens every Sunday. So I thought I'd just read it to us as we look at this. Matthew chapter 2. It said, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem. It said, and they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So these magi, they were looking for a sign, for something. This wasn't just like, oh, there's a star, let's go. Like, they knew the history of Israel. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. They knew that one day there was going to be this Messiah that was going to be born, and where he was going to be coming and what the whole purpose was. And they saw the sign. And they said, we're looking for this guy. We're looking for the baby, the king of the Jews, the one that came. And they're talking to this King Herod. So after they heard the king, or they stopped and they, I'll wait a second. They stopped and they asked King Herod, have you heard? Where's he at? Where's this king? Now, Herod wasn't so excited to hear that there was another king born, because he is the king, right? He's the one that's ruling. He's like, hold on a second. I'm the king. Everybody bows to me. I'm the one that's large and in charge. What are you talking about? Some king of the Jews is born. I don't like the sound of this. So he's hiding it from them, saying, hey, okay, wow. Well, when you find him, come back and let me know. I would love to take my own gifts and bow down to this new king. So Herod's trying to trick him, because he wants quite the opposite. He wants to not bow down. He wants this newborn king to bow down to him, and actually sets a plan later to try to kill this Jesus. That's a pretty grim part of the Christmas story, isn't it? Like a king that wants to rule as king and doesn't like that there's another king in the story. And so after that went down and they had this conversation, the Magi continued on. They continued on their journey. But King Herod, as they left, was greatly disturbed, like troubled. What the heck is going on in the world right now as he's the king? We'll get back to that in a minute. It says this, then after they heard the king, they listened to him, and they had that conversation, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, I don't know if you've ever followed a star like that, but this is a pretty magical God moment. That this, what they were bringing to Jesus, these gifts and why they were led there, was on purpose. That God had a purpose. God had a plan for them showing up at the feet of Jesus. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother. I'm going to keep reading. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. I know some people, you know, it's like gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. It's like all of a sudden some zombie bumps out, and that's a different movie. I don't know where that one's at. But no, they brought him gifts, okay? They brought him three very specific gifts, and they traveled a long ways to bring these very gifts. And there's a reason behind these three specific gifts that they were giving Jesus. This wasn't the alarm clock, right? This wasn't like, here's a used pair of shoes. Like, don't ever do that, all right? That's just a bad gift. Unless they really need shoes, you know, then that might be a great gift. I'm not the one that you should be listening to on gifts, I guess, is what I'm saying. But these gifts meant something. These gifts had purpose. See, when we read the story about Jesus in Bethlehem, this isn't just a good story. Like, this is history. Actually, there's no more well-documented physical characters in history than this person, Jesus. Where he was born, where he lived, where he walked, where he preached, where he taught, where he died. Like, Jesus is real. And this scene and in this moment is a part of history. And for us as Christians, like, this is a part of the evidence of our faith. Because these three gifts were spoken about this person, Jesus, who was supposed to come. This Jesus, this Messiah that the Magi, the wise men, were waiting for and hoping for, and then followed this star to go find this Jesus. He was many things. Now, here at New Hope, over the last number of weeks, we've talked a lot about the names of Jesus. I mean, how many different names, because how many different roles he plays in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we sang songs about the Wonderful Counselor, you know, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, that he is all these things. But these gifts speak about who he was going to be for us. So these three gifts, I'm going to talk about just them really quick. The first one was gold. Now, any ladies in the room, would you like some gold for Christmas? All right. Little girl over there is like, me, I'll take some. Like, gold is a good gift. Like, anything that's gold and sparkly, like some jewelry, that kind of thing. But for gold, as they were bringing this to Jesus, they weren't just giving him gold, like, here's some nice jewelry or here's some treasure, you know, that kind of stuff. They were giving him something that represented a king. Like, that's what gold was. Gold was what royalty, kings, leaders, that was a part of their wealth to lead. And that's what gold represented, was leadership and kinghood. And with Jesus, we see that he wasn't just a baby. They came because he was going to be the king. And they started worshiping him as this infant, as the king they knew he would become, and said, this is the gold for the king. That's who he's going to be. There's a passage in the Old Testament, the book of Micah, 5 verse 2, it talks about Bethlehem. Actually, this is one of the prophecies in the Old Testament talking about where this Messiah was going to be born. So I don't know, how many of you picked where you're going to be born, right? Right? No, none of us, right? I was born in Bowling Green, Ohio. That is the flattest part of Ohio, and it's boring. If you're from there, God bless you. That's where my parents still live up, not in the woods. But this is what it said. It said, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, and it was small, it's like Smithville, all right? That's what we're talking about. That's where Bethlehem was. It wasn't some big grand city. It wasn't like great things. It wasn't like wealthy. It was like a Smithville. It's like just a small town, and everybody kind of knew each other. And he says, you're a small town among the clans of Judah, but out of you will come for me, God, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This Messiah was going to be born in a humble place, this little town Bethlehem, but he wasn't going to stay humble and little. He was going to rule as king forever. The one who was from ancient times, meaning Jesus existed before he was a baby. He wasn't, and just for some of you in this room, sometimes, you know, Christmas might be the only time you hear about Jesus. So you just think of Jesus as little baby Jesus, right? He grew up to be a man. He died for all of us. He conquered death. He rose again. And then he ascended to heaven. And he's alive today. He is on a throne. He is king. All the prophecies from the old to the new to where he is now have been fulfilled in this one person, Jesus. Oh, how blessed you are, Bethlehem. Why? Because a king is coming out of you. The king that will rule over Israel and rule over all the world. That's why they brought him this gift of gold. They were wise. They were wise men. Not only did they give him gold and proclaim that he was going to be king, they brought myrrh, which is an interesting one, because myrrh is like a spice. And in those days, they didn't have CVS, and you didn't go buy like the antibiotic ointment when you had an itch and put a Band-Aid on it. Like, that's not what they did back then. Like, myrrh for them, myrrh and oil and those kind of things, that was medicinal. It was used for purposes of healing. It was also used in ceremonies with the priests, of anointing. They were used for moments of proclamation over a priest saying, now you are anointed, and they would pour this oil and this myrrh on top of this priest as an anointing, now covering with God's presence, to now be used by God as a priest. And so this ceremony of bringing him myrrh has so much deep, rich, like prophecy to it. It wasn't just, here's some nice spices because your baby's going to stink, right? That's not what it was, okay? Like, they were prophesying. This one, this baby who's going to grow up one day to be king, he's also going to be a priest. He's going to be the one that intercedes for everyone to this Heavenly Father that all of us want to have a relationship with and want to know. There's a passage in the Psalms that kind of gives this imagery and this prophecy. It says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Like, when God says something and does something, he keeps his promise. He says, you are a priest, talking about this Messiah, a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, some of you are like, Tim, you're using words I don't know. That's okay, because sometimes I don't know them either. This dude right here, he was just like a high-order priest. Like, he was one of the head guys, and if you wanted to make your sins right, if you wanted to come to the temple to worship as an Israelite, like, you would go to that place, and you would go to that priest, and that priest would represent you. And he would represent you, and then he would sacrifice an animal, because, see, in the Old Testament, they had to do that every single time they sinned. Something had to die, because do you know what happens when we sin? Something dies in us. When I sin against somebody else, if I sin against you, something dies in our relationship. When we sin against God, something dies in our relationship with God. Something gets disconnected. And Jesus put in this process of saying, now, something has to die to cover that sin. It's going to die in place of it, right? So then we can be forgiven. And that's what the priests did. They continually gave that sacrifice and represented the people to this Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus is doing today. He was the sacrifice. He didn't come just to live a good life and then retire and then, you know, to get a house in a condo in the suburbs where he doesn't have to mow his yard anymore and then just die of old age. Like, that's not why Jesus came. He did not come for his own comfort. He came to serve us. He came not to be served, but to serve everyone, even to serve by giving his life. He became the ultimate sacrifice. When we sin, things die, he died to cover all our sin. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so when they were bringing the simple gift of myrrh, they were making a pretty huge proclamation about this Jesus. He will be our priest forever, representing us into the kingdom of God. And then the last gift they brought was this gift of frankincense. And frankincense was also used for anointing, healing, and an important one here is it was used for burial practices. So back then, they didn't have embalming the way we do it now, right? They didn't come and take the body away and then do all the fancy things with all the whatever. Like, back then, they had this process, and it was herbs and spices, and frankincense was a part of that process and that wrapping to prepare that body for burial. And then bringing this gift foretold what Jesus was going to do, what the end of his life was going to look like, and that he would become that final sacrifice. So frankincense, when we see this picture in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, it's just a clear image of what Jesus did. And you would think that it had already happened when you read it, right? The book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, verse 53, or chapter 53 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." The book of Isaiah was about 700 years before Jesus and this whole Bethlehem scene we're talking about today. 700 years before Jesus showed up, the prophets were saying what the Savior was going to do, what he was going to become. And these wise men were making a proclamation. He will be king. He will rule forever. He will be the priest who represents us all before God, and he will be the final sacrifice, who was crushed when it should have been us being crushed, who was pierced when it should have been us being pierced for our iniquities, who was punished, and who brought us peace when honestly, like, I don't deserve it. I haven't earned any of that in my own life. Like, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect by any means. And I don't think any of us in this room are. That none of us lived up to the level that Jesus did in perfection. He walked this world. He was tempted the way we were, but he never sinned. And he was substituted for us on that cross. So when we think about Christmas, you know, so often we think about just the little baby in the manger. Think about the scene of the nativity, and you know, you got the angels up here, and you got the cow going moo, and it's like, be quiet, cow, right? And then you got the, you know, Mary and Joseph, and we see this image in this picture. But I like the picture that these wise men saw when they saw Jesus, the prophet, the priest, and the king. And so I wonder this Christmas, as we celebrate together, I wonder how you see Jesus. You know, I wonder what you think about him. And today, I'm not going to make anybody think anything. It's one thing here at New Hope that we know is that we can't make anybody do anything. That's not our job. Our job is to preach truth and preach the gospel and help people from wherever they're at to hopefully find where God wants them to be. That's what we do around here. But I would want you to think this Christmas for you. How do you respond to this Jesus? You know, when I think about the book, that the Christmas book that Grandma Lois read is one of our favorites at our house. I love the way it ends. Because it's like, what can we bring this Jesus? You know, can we bring him the Christmas sounds and the Christmas smells and the Christmas tastes and all the great things that we experience at Christmas? And the end, the conclusion is, no, I'm going to give him me at Christmas. Because he doesn't need any of the other things. God just wants a relationship with us. And that's why he sent Jesus. No matter how broken or how great our life is, no matter where we are in between, he just wants to be with us. He sent Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us. And today, I know some of you in this room, you need a God who is with you. You don't need a God who's against you. You don't need a God who's far from you. You need a God who is with you and beside you and for you and who will encourage you and who will meet you wherever you're at. And that's what he did when he sent Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel. So what will you give Jesus this Christmas? We all get into the season, we hustle, we bustle, we shop, we party, we eat a little bit more, and then we unbuckle, and then we unbuckle, and then we take a nap, and then we go back to work, right? That's kind of like Christmas season. In the middle of it, I want us tonight just to take a moment to stop, to listen, to breathe, to experience this Jesus who said he came as the Prince of Peace. And that peace comes on those who God's favor rests. I want us to be a type of people that his favor can rest on us. And so when I think about this Christmas, all of us have an opportunity to respond, just as these wise men did. God, during this time, and I'm grateful for this evening, God, that we get to celebrate this as a church family, that we're reminded of these gifts that you've given us through Jesus, the wise men proclaimed, and we want to understand them more and more. And I pray that you would help us, God. Help us understand these gifts, understand who Jesus is. Help us to see you for who you really are, and thank you for what you've really done in our lives and for us this season. And I'm going to pray during this time, God, that you'll speak to each of us however you want to. That you would silence our hearts and slow our minds down just for a moment this evening before the busy and hustle and bustle kicks in. And I pray we would experience you. That we would experience you. I just want us to stay kind of in an attitude of just prayer and just response in this moment. The last part of Isaiah 53 there says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all." That's our condition. That's our reality. Like, none of us are perfect. And God chose his Son to lay all of our iniquity on. That's a crazy gift to think about. I know I would not give up my Son for any of you. I love my Son. God loved his Son, and he did give up his Son for all of us. That's pretty powerful. So during this time, during this season, my question is, what's your response to Jesus? Because we can respond of one of two people in this story, in this part of the Christmas story. One, we can respond as Herod did, or we can respond as the wise men did. See, Herod wanted to be the king of his own life. Not only that, he wanted to be king of other people's lives and everyone's life. And he wanted to rule. And so King Herod ruled with pride. And that did not lead him anywhere good in his life. It actually led him to become a murderer, to kill tons of infants and babies and children. Like, he did horrible things because of what he wanted, right? And that's what happens when we try to be the king of our own life. We lead our own life. We try to do our own things and do it our own ways. And so often, our own ways and our own paths don't lead the way to great things. If I know anything, when I do it my way, it's usually not the good way, and I have to learn from it, and I have to go through the valleys of life. So do you want to respond like Herod and say, "Nope, don't need this, Jesus. I want it my way"? Or tonight, do you want to respond like the wise men? "I know I need a Savior. I know I've got all the iniquities. I know I can't make myself right, and I know that I can't pay for my own sins. And so I want this Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to be my King. I want him to rule in my life because I want the good things he has for me. I want him to be my priest, for him to make a way so that I can be with God forever." So really, the choice is yours. Where do you want to be this Christmas? I want us to take a time, and if you, maybe you're in the middle somewhere. You're like, "Tim, I don't think I'm Herod. I know I'm not the wise men, but I'm curious about what you're talking about." Listen, if you're in the middle, I would say come back in a couple of weeks. Join us here at New Hope and start seeing what this God is, who he is, and what he's about. And you'll probably learn some stuff when you show up on Sundays around here. So I would say, if you're somewhere in the middle, you're like, "Tim, I don't know yet. I'm not on either. I don't feel like I'm Herod, but I know I'm not the wise men." But if you're curious, I would say just come back. Come back and learn. Come back and listen. Come back and see as we explain who this God is. And see what he might have for you and what he might have in your life. But today, some of you, you may say, I'm ready to move from here. I'd rather be wise. I'd rather start a relationship with God. And that's what the gospel message is. Jesus came for you. And then he says, all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised from the grave and he's alive. And you will be saved. It's your own proclamation and your own belief. And I'm going to pray in a moment. And if you want to take that step and you want to accept this Jesus, you can pray that today. And you can start that relationship and start that journey with him and let him start working in you and see what he might do. So I'm going to pray, and I would ask all of us just to bow our heads in this time and just have a spirit of prayer. And if you want to start that journey, and if that's you today and God's doing something inside of you, don't leave without doing something with that. Don't leave this morning or this evening without praying or talking to God about what's going on inside of you. But if you want to start that journey with him, I want you to pray, and you can repeat it after me, but I always say it's no magic words of the pastor. These got to be your words in your heart to God. So if you want to start that today, you can pray with me. Let's all pray together. You can say, pray to God and say, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Thank you for this Christmas. I want to be a wise man. I need a savior. I can't save myself. And so I ask Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and take them away from me. And I pray that you would enter into my life. I start this today. I give you all of who I am, and I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I just ask this in Jesus' name alone, I pray. Amen. Amen. And God, for the rest of us this evening, as we are challenged to think about this Christmas, where do we stand with you? Are we wise? Are we King Herod? Are we somewhere in the middle? I pray that you would lead each of us down your path, that we would follow it, and we'd follow your lead in our lives, God. And that as we sing in a moment, too, that you just continue working in our hearts and in our lives as we proclaim what happened that beautiful night, that beautiful moment, when Jesus entered into this broken world. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Remember, said amen.